Blog Talk Radio.
It's there.
What?
And they called it puppy love.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours.
My dog's better because he ate the mailman. My dog's better than yours. Yeah, that's right. That's what bad dogs do. And that's what we're talking about tonight. You can hear them howling. Excuse me and good evening. Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at, where are we? Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. And I'm accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And sorry, I stepped on the dog's tail. Hey, we need to warn everybody. It keeps popping up on my screen. It might be on Dale's as well. That next episode is about to start. What do you want to do? So if something happens and we get cut off, it's another thanks blog talk moment.
Yeah, it's doing weird stuff. So we don't know what to expect. But thank you, Fogsbane, for joining us, even though some nitwit didn't turn the chat on until the last moment. Nitwit would be me. I hate you.
Hey, Dale, I didn't get to tell you, but how much I enjoyed, especially the stories last night. The last these were fun. I thought that Rin Tin Tin adventure was absolutely amazing.
It was cool. I love Rin Tin.
So it was... It was a fun night with some good dogs, and right now we got a couple of bad ones. Actually, the one's not a really bad dog, but it's always a bad dog if they're leaping on you. Bad dog,
yes.
Get down.
Yes. Eat him with
a There's only one other thing that's more irritating than a dog can do than leaping on you, and I'm not going to say what that is.
Yes. But we all know, and that's when you really hit him with a newspaper.
That's right.
Oh, I have a story I can't tell. I think I told it to you once before, Dave, but I can't tell it here.
Ah, okay.
Yes. A tale from the bar. A tale from the bar. Best left unsaid.
Bad dogs. You know, if a dog... poops in your yard, it's not the dog's fault. That's what the dogs are doing. You're taking them out to do their business. But it's bad that the owner of that said animal does not pick it up and like they're supposed to. I live in the city. I don't have a lot of that. I've had some, but not a whole lot.
Well, I'm thinking if the dog wanted it, he would have kept it.
Well, I guess that's one strange way to look at it.
I'm a strange kind of guy. Ew. Now,
but we got... go ahead.
Yeah, I have no idea. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we have a fun adventure with Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, and then a show that can find a story about just about anything, Suspense. As they were just on for 20 years. Mr. Keen was on for quite a few years himself. I think 18 years, something like that.
Wow.
I'm thinking it was.
I did not know
18
that.
Years. You know, so here's something weird about Mr. Keen, too. It's 18 years. It really was radio's most resilient detective. He had a total of 1,690 episodes. 1,690. That's because during part of the run in the 50s, not only was it on weekly, it was also on Monday through Friday. So, you know, there'd be six episodes a week. It doesn't take long before that adds up. In contrast, the second closest competitor to episodes was Nick Carter, Master Detective, with 726 episodes, and that was followed by Sherlock Holmes with 657 episodes. And then The Falcon. Then The Falcon with 473 episodes. And if you take the Garculator out and add in Nick Carter, Sherlock Holmes, and The Falcon all together, it comes to 1,856. That's only 166 more episodes than the entire run of Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons.
That's here's why I find that surprising. Tracer of Lost Persons is not as well, you know, as a widely known show by the public at large, at least. You know what I mean? As some of the others,
right.
Like Suspense,
yeah.
Like Lights Out, like...
Well, when you look at the other detectives, certainly not like Sherlock Holmes.
As right.
The radio detectives, certainly you would think not like Mr. Keen. It was based on, let me see, I had it here. Oh, come on. It was based on Robert W. Chambers' 1906 novel, The Tracer of Lost Persons, and started October 12th, 1937, running till April 19th, 1955. He just kind of snuck in there. And what's funny is, of the entire 18 years, Mr. Keen was played by three different persons, starting with Bennett Kilpack in 37, followed up with Arthur Hughes, and then finished up with Phil Clark. But his kindly assistant, Mike Clancy, was played by one person only, the entire 18 years, Jim Kelly.
Who later played quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
Not the same Jim Kelly.
Ah, okay.
Maybe his grandfather or something. I don't know.
Something. I don't know.
But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. 1,690 episodes.
Yeah.
It was only on for 8 or 9 years, but I think that's more than what the Mystery Theater had.
Yeah, pretty close.
That's more than
Mystery Theater.
That's more than Suspense had in 20 years.
That's an incredible run, and we got one of them for you tonight. In fact, we got a fun little thing to play after that too. This one's called the.
We do.
Case of the Leaping Dog, and as Dave mentioned, a leaping dog is probably not a very good dog, especially if they're leaping all over you.
That's right.
Like a
especially
patient,
out in the mud.
Yep. Like a crazy puppy, like a collie, for example.
For example, yes.
You know, for a collie that you may have named Paladin or something like that.
You may have.
I think that's possible.
That'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea for a weekend of stories, Dale.
And we probably ought to get going with Mr. Keen. Tracer, O Lost Persons, with Case of the Leaping Dog. This one was originally broadcast.
April 13th, 1944.
Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, is on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel's Toothpaste presents Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, the famous old investigator will take from his file and bring to us one of his most celebrated missing person cases. When you buy Colonel's toothpaste, you get four big advantages. One, flavor. It's peppy, minty, refreshing. Two, foam. It's bubbly, busy, alive. Three, feel. It's soft, safe, non-abrasive. 4, Result. It helps brush your teeth immaculately clean. Who could ask for anything more? Don't wait. Ask for Colino, a high-polishing toothpaste. That's spelled K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Colino's Toothpaste. And now, Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, who tonight brings us the case of the Leaping Dog, a strange and baffling story that began on a street corner in New York near the tracer's office. There was a modest little apartment house on the corner, and outside, a large Belgian shepherd dog stood looking up at a ground floor window and baying unhappily. From time to time, the dog would leap with all his strength toward that closed window, only to fall back hour after hour. Of course, it attracted attention from many who passed by, and eventually from Mr. Keene and his assistant, Mike Clancy, as they were walking back to their office from lunch. Mike!
Yes, Mr. Keene. Look on the corner there. That dog is still there.
Oh, sure enough. The leaping dog.
There he goes again. Still jumping and still falling back. Poor fellow. So handsome and pathetic.
Nice set of teeth, too.
Let's have a chat with him.
Yesterday I saw him almost put his teeth in the one fellow who tried to have a chat. Boy, it was a close shave.
Well, he's looking over this way.
Sure, here he comes.
Gentle as a lamb.
Say, boss, what you just tell him now?
That I like him, that's all. Here you are, young fellow. Oh, what's the trouble? Locked out? Somebody forget you? No color on him, no identification. Oh, there's something you're trying to tell me, eh? Well, let's go inside and see what we can find out.
Inside? Boss, you've got a year's work waiting for you at the office as it is.
It'll only take a moment, Mike. Let's ask those two men standing there in front of the doorway. Maybe they can give us some information.
Now we're working for a dog.
Come along, young fellow. I beg your pardon, gentlemen.
Yeah, what do you want?
I wonder if you've noticed this dog leaping up at that window.
What dog?
This Belgian shepherd right here.
Never saw him in my life.
Neither did I. He's been out here all morning and yesterday, too.
We never saw him in our life.
Okay, okay.
Here, Mike. Let's go through this door.
The dog's trotted along like he knew you all his life, boss.
It's a walk-up apartment.
There goes the dog, heading for that first door.
And that's where he probably lives. Ring the doorbell, Mike.
No luck.
See what's down there on the doormat.
Oh, newspapers, a pile of them.
Well, let's have a look at the date.
Here you are, sir.
Lying here as far back as 5 days.
Hey, boss, you think somebody's dead inside the apartment? Died sudden-like, maybe, or committed suicide?
Could be.
Let's call the cops.
No. No, before we go that far, let's try the easy way. We'll ring the bell of the neighbor next door.
Okay, sir.
Something you want?
I beg your pardon, Mrs.
Briggs is my name.
Mrs. Briggs, I happen to notice this dog out on the street.
Oh, sure, that's Tony.
Tony, eh? I gather he belongs in that apartment next door.
Yes, to the old couple, Mr. and Mrs. Godwin.
Well, I rang their bell and there was no answer.
They just went away.
Are you sure?
Yes, on a vacation, I guess. I saw them get into a taxi last Saturday, it was. Both of them. With the dog and a couple of suitcases.
They did take the dog with them.
Oh, yes. Then all of a sudden, Tony showed up here yesterday. I tried to coax him inside to give him some food, but he just kept growling.
Very strange.
Yes, I was wondering.
Mrs. Briggs, you wouldn't by any chance remember what kind of a taxi they went away in?
No. I happened to be standing by my window when I saw Mr. Godwin at the curb shouting for the taxi. They got in, all of them, and went away.
If I may trouble you with one more question, can you tell me anything about what Mr. Godwin does for a living?
He's retired, I guess. They moved in here about 6 months ago, and they never went outside their apartment much, except to walk the dog. Oh, Oh, excuse me. I've something on the stove cooking now.
Go right ahead and take care of it. Thank you very much, Mrs. Briggs, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, boss?
Mike, scribble a little note and shove it under the door. Say we've taken Tony to the office.
To the office?
Do as I say, please, Mike.
Okay, okay. Dear Mr. Godwin, if you are looking for your dog...
Poor fellow, you're very upset. So am I, Tony. There's something about this situation I just don't like. Well, you come back to the office and we'll fix you a bite to eat. Do a little thinking about this funny business.
Okay, Mr. Keene, I put the note under the door.
Let's get along, Mike. I beg your pardon, gentlemen.
Come on, Skinner, out of the way.
Okay, okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. Here, Tony, come along. This way.
Hey, Skinner.
Yeah, Harvey?
Did you hear what name that Irishman was calling the old guy before?
Sure, Mr. Keene.
There's an investigator by that name. Famous. I've seen his pictures in the paper.
Me too. That's the guy.
What makes him come snooping around here?
Just one of those accidents. His office is around here.
I don't like it, Skinner. You better keep an eye on the old guy.
Well, boss, 2 days gone by and you're still hanging on to this dog. You take him home every night, you bring him back in the morning and keep him by your desk. He's becoming a regular member of the staff.
Not a bad idea, Mike.
Well, why don't you turn him over to a cop? What are you up to anyhow?
Mike, I'm convinced this isn't any ordinary case of a stray dog. I don't believe the Godwins went off on a vacation.
Why not?
They're obviously people in modest circumstances. If they'd gone off on a vacation, the first thing they'd have done would have been to stop the daily newspaper.
Maybe so, but...
Something tells me the Godwins left in a hurry, in a panic. They were running away from something.
Why should 2 old people run away?
I don't know, but I'd certainly like to find out.
There's still no answer to our note. We haven't got a thing to go on.
Just one clue. They left in a taxi.
Mr. Keene, New York's full of taxis.
True, Mike. And every driver is required by law to keep a trip record.
Oh.
Yes, a police regulation. Every time a driver makes a trip, he must keep a record of when and where it started, the number of his passengers, and when and where it ended.
Sure, that's right. You always see them cabbies writing things down on a card.
Well, it may be a long, slow process, but if we were to check every major cab company in New York, we might pick up the trail of the old couple.
Sure, but nobody's asked you to check, boss.
That's just what intrigues my imagination. Mike, get your hat and coat. Good sign, Mike. Tony approves.
Skinner, I don't like the looks of it.
Just because the old guy makes friends with the dog?
He's hanging on to the dog because he's got a hunch of some kind. You know King's reputation.
Maybe so, Harvey.
Shut up. Do like I say. Keep telling Keene night and day, as long as he hangs on to that dog.
Okay, okay.
That's right, Mr. Boyle. I'm looking for a cab that picked up an elderly couple at that address just a week ago today.
Sorry, Mr. Keene. Wasn't any of our cabs.
Say it was 8 days ago today, Mr. Keene.
That's right, Mr. Horton.
No, sir, it doesn't show on our record.
Well, Mr. Keene, sir, it looks like the well-known needle in the well-known haystack.
Mike, we mustn't weaken. Sooner or later, we'll find the right cab.
Ah, but how do you know it'll be worth finding? How do we know there's any kind of a case?
We've got to take the chance because... 1 second, Mike.
What's up, boss?
Look, they're across the street.
2 men walking along. So what?
Unless I'm very much mistaken, it's the same 2 men we ran into in the hallway the day we first started this search.
Mr. Keene, you're right.
Mike, they're shadowing us.
Yes, sir. That's the way it looks.
And that convinces me. There's a case, all right. And we must get to the bottom of it.
Mr.
Keene, I drove that old couple in this taxi right here.
You're certain of that, driver?
Oh, checks all the way. The time of day, address where I picked them up, and a couple of other things happened to make me remember.
Oh, tell us about them.
Well, I was cruising along that morning, and suddenly I hear the old gent shouting.
Taxi! Taxi!
I look over to the curb, and there's the old gent and the lady, a dog tow, a couple of suitcases. I pull over to the curb, and they get in. Yes, sir, where to?
Grand Central Station.
Okay, Chief.
Just a second, please.
I'll change your mind.
Better make it 125th Street, the 125th Street Station.
Okay.
Yes, Sam. I think that would be safer.
Poor Alice, I'm sorry this had to happen.
Oh, I'll be all right, Sandy.
You don't look at all well. If only we'd had time to see the doctor again.
Now, please don't worry.
That reminds me. You forgot to pick up your prescription at the drugstore. Driver, stop. We've got to go back.
So, driver, you turned around and went to a drugstore?
Yes, Mr. Keene. That's when the trouble happened with the dog. The old gentleman trotted along to the drugstore, but suddenly a cat came along, and off went the dog down the block and around the corner.
Look, Sam, Tony's gone.
Now, don't worry, Alice. He'll be back.
Oh.
Meanwhile, I'll pick up the prescription. Eh? He'll be back.
But he never did come back. We waited and waited, and finally Mr. Godwin said...
Alice, I hate to do this, but we'll have to go without Tony.
Oh, no, Sam. We can't. Tony's been almost like a child to us.
But if we waste any more time here, it may cost us even more than Tony. Driver, get going.
You got them to 125th Street all right?
Yeah, but the wife was so upset, Mr. Keene, when she started out of the cab, she went into a faint.
Well, I'll be darned.
I helped get her into the waiting room of the station to a woman on duty for the traveler's aid.
What happened next?
I don't know. A cop asked me to get my cab going.
And that's the last you saw of them?
Right.
Obviously, they were very frightened people.
Sure thing.
Driver, if you're free to take a fare now...
I am.
All right, the 125th Street station then. Come along, Mike.
Mr. Keene and Mike Clancy continue the search. We pause for a moment. Every day, thousands and thousands of people are discovering they can get almost incredibly fast relief from the pains of simple headache and minor neuralgia with a remarkable product called Anacin. You see, Anacin is like a doctor's prescription, for it contains not just one, but a combination of medically tested and proven ingredients. That's one reason it brings such amazingly fast relief. Many have discovered this right in their own physician's or dentist's office, where they've been given an envelope containing two Anacin tablets. Get Anacin at your druggist next time you have a headache pain or the pains of neuralgia. Take only as directed. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin. In handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
Yep, and that pink and envelopes part made me a little nervous. That has a different connotation for me. It's like an envelope is something you take from your uncle Guido for a favor.
Hey, Gail, you worked with my cousin Kathleen.
I have. How
yes,
is she?
She's doing fine. She put up a Facebook post. It's so appropriate to what we're doing tonight. I just thought it would be fun. It's called Excellent Reasons to Give Your Pet Boring Human Names. One, to see how long it takes your coworkers to realize that you're talking about a pet and not a significant other. Example, Dave and I were watching a movie in bed together the other night. Or 1B, about a kid, Maria's not allowed to eat raisins. She's allergic. Or 2, you could use them as an excuse. Taylor hates it when I get home late. Or 3, eventually, you get to say things like, Jennifer got stuck between the wall and the refrigerator again. So there you go. All great, excellent reasons to give your pets boring human names.
That last one was a good one. Oh, my. Oh, my. Again, yes. Suggesting that this strange thing happens more than once.
Fairly often, yes.
We've got quite a bit of radio tonight. I mean, a couple.
We do.
You know, we got a couple great shows, Mr. Keene, and of course, an episode of Suspense coming up later. And Dave found us some more cool things. I can't wait to hear see your reactions to our little feature following Mr. Keene.
Yes, and you know, we have a couple of them. If you wanted to throw in one of the dog songs here, we could do that. And before we get started into the exciting conclusion.
Sure, we got some dog tunage.
Yes, we do.
And here's one of them now.
Well, according to the last canine census, there are 14 million dogs in America. This week, those 14 million tails are wagging more happily than ever because it's Dog Week. So today we offer all you pooch owners a few musical observations by Harry Simeon on your four-footed pal, the dog. Yes, today every dog has his day. Wolfhound, bloodhound, greyhound, spitz, sheepdog, bulldog, poodle dog, palm, husky or hairless, malamute or mastiff, Chihuahua or Chow, they're all dogs.
That was Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. Spike Jones did take off with that for one of his songs. I forget which one it was, but he called it Spike Jones and his Barefoot Pennsylvanians. So anyway, Spike was not afraid to spoof anyone. Fred Waring even looked a little bit like Spike. Anyway.
Anywho, we've got part two now of our tale from Mr. Keene. Tracer.
Yep.
Of missing poisons. With the case of the
lost
leaping
persons.
Dog.
Lost,
well, that's right.
Lost persons. Lost
yep.
persons.
Lost poisons.
Yep. Yeah, lost yep. poisons. Yep.
Lost poisons.
Poisons.
Let's wrap it up. We'll be back.
Now back to Mr. Keene and to Mike, his assistant, at the 125th Street Station.
Yes, Miss Thompson, that's the old couple, all right. Tell me the rest, please.
Well, as representative of the Traveler's Aid, I put myself at their disposal, Mr. Keene. I offered to get a doctor.
And?
She refused. She said all she needed was a spoonful of her medicine. A few minutes later, they got on their train and left.
Did they tell you where they were going?
The old gentleman is very vague. Indiana, he said.
Indiana?
And that's all.
Boss, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Mike?
Look, over there in the corner. Those two men again. Still trailing.
Miss Thompson, I have a very important request. If anybody else comes along to ask you about that old couple, unless it's the police, don't give any information.
Why, I don't understand.
It's still a puzzle to me, too. But obviously, those two people are in some terrible danger. Please do as I ask.
No, Harvey, that dame from the Traveler's Aid wouldn't tell me a thing.
Not even where Godwin and his wife went?
Not a word. We're stymied.
No, we're not. Not with a guy like Keene working for us.
Who says he's working for us?
He will, if we fix it right. And we won't have to pay him a cent. Listen to this.
Easy there, Tony, easy. I'm doing my best to find them. Just be patient.
Patient? Boss, you're up against the wall and you know it.
I do know they've gone to Indiana, Mike.
You found that out yesterday. Nothing since.
Indiana.
It's a very big place. Give it up, Mr. Keene. Turn the dog over to the animal society.
Mike, maybe I'm just a vain old man, but I hate to admit defeat. Yes, Susie?
A letter just came for you, Mr. Keene. Special delivery.
Thank you, Susie.
Very well, Mr. Keene.
Maybe the Godwins have children out in Indiana. Maybe they... Well, I'll read this letter. Mike, this is very interesting.
What's up?
I'll read it to you. Dear Mr. Keene, I'm an old friend of the Godwins. I'm told by their neighbor that you were asking about them. Don't worry, they are safe and sound. Sam Godwin is a retired trainer of racehorses.
Oh, a trainer.
And he and his wife have gone off to visit some friends on the training farm. If you don't mind keeping the dog, they'll pay you all the expense when they come back. It's signed Arthur Ross.
Ross, that letter is a phony.
Why?
Well, if the friend knew that they were on vacation, how would he happen to drop in at the house and find out you were investigating?
Good point, Mike. The next question, why was this letter sent to me?
Why, sure, plain as day. The man who wrote it wants to steer you off from looking for the Godwin. He wants to make you give up the search.
Oh, Mike, I've got another theory, just the opposite.
Well, what do you mean?
This letter was written to spur us on.
What?
The writer knew it would sound fishy. Knew it would make me worry even more. Also, he went out of his way to give us a clue that may help find the Godwin.
Well, you mean that this...
Mention that Godwin is a trainer of racehorses. Since we know the Godwins went to Indiana, as the writer probably does not, that narrows down the search. You see, there are any number of obscure little half-mile tracks out in Indiana. Sam Godwin may have gone out there to work at his trade, in a place his enemies mightn't think of looking.
Ah, but still, why would these enemies want to put you on the trail?
Why? So that I'll do their work for them. So that I'll act as their bloodhound.
Oh, what does that mean? That if we find the Godwins, so will their enemies.
Probably.
Those two gorillas who have been shadowing us day and night, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Mike. Go on with the search now is a dangerous risk. But we are going to take that risk.
Steady there, Lightning. This gentleman wants to talk to us.
Mr. Williams, if you'd rather I came back after the race...
No.
My name is Keene. I'm an investigator from New York.
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to locate a trainer by the name of Sam Godwin. I wonder if you know him.
Sam Godwin? Sure. Yeah, he's old, but he's one of the best men in the business.
Oh. Have you run into him by any chance?
Well, you see, Godwin's a big shot, Mr. Keene. You wouldn't find him around a dinky half-mile track like this. Not here.
Well, are there any other race meetings going on in the state?
Yes, there's a small one over here at Haverford. And there's the Spring Carnival over at Beresford. But I don't think that you'll find it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Williams. I'll have to check that for myself. Yeah, Mike, this must be the office.
Okay, boss. I knock.
Come in. Yes, gentlemen?
I'm told you're in charge of the racing program at the carnival.
Yes, sir. You want to make some entries?
No, I just want to have a little talk with you, Sam Godwin.
You've made a mistake. My name isn't Godwin.
I'm told otherwise. But just to prove it, Mike, go back to the taxi outside.
Yes, sir, I will.
And just open the door of the cab.
Yes, sir. I get it.
Who are you? What do you want?
I think I can explain most quickly by showing you my card. Have a look.
Your name is... Oh, you're the famous investigator. Tony, old boy. Tony, we thought you were gone for good. Poor fellow.
I think this proves my point. You are Sam Godwin.
How did you ever find Tony, Mr. Keene? And what brought you here?
I won't go into that right now. I'll tell you only this. You're in danger.
I know.
Even more than you suspect. I may be able to help you, but only if you'll trust me. Come, I say. Tell me what the trouble is.
Mr. Keene, All right. I'm sick of running away. I might as well tell you. Up to last year, I worked the biggest tracks. I minded my own business, which was to produce winners. Then last year, just before one of the biggest races, two men came to see me at my hotel. They introduced themselves.
My name's Harvey. This is Mr. Skinner.
I'm pleased to meet you. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Godwin, we think you're the best racing trainer in this country.
Well, thanks for the compliment, but...
In fact, with the way you've been handling Lady Checkers, we don't see how she can lose tomorrow.
She'll win by 10 lengths.
That's just what we don't want her to do.
What?
Cards on the table. We represent a gambling system. It's worth more to us if Lady Checkers loses. We'll pay you $5,000 if you fix it.
Get out of here.
We can go up to $10,000.
I never threw a race in my life. Get out.
$15,000. Just a little shot of dope before the race to slow her up. What do you say?
I'm sending for the police.
Take your hands off that phone and listen. I got a sick wife. She can't stand excitement. Suppose you start getting beat up every now and then.
You can't do that.
Sure we can. Or else we make you a present of $15,000. How about it? Which is it? Make up your mind, Godwin.
Well, Mr. Godwin, what did you decide?
I said yes, Mr. Keene, to stall them off. I wanted to tell the police, but I didn't see how I could prove it. And my wife is a very sick woman. Heart condition.
Yes, I know.
But I never harmed an animal in my life. One hour before the race, my wife and I packed up and ran away. Lady Checkers won. Cost the gamblers a fortune.
They've been after you ever since?
They trailed me from town to town. I had to give up my work. We lived in New York on our savings. Then somebody tipped me off they were looking for me in New York, so again it meant packing up and running. We were hoping that this time...
One moment, Mr. Godwin.
What's up?
Come over here. Look through this window.
Heavens above.
Those two men lounging by the gate.
Skinner and Harvey, they found me again.
You can blame me for that.
You?
While I was following you, they were following me.
Now I am a goner with my wife sick at the hotel alone all day.
1 minute. Don't lose your nerve, Sam Godwin.
But what can I do, Mr. Keene?
You can take the bull by the horn.
How?
Listen carefully. Tonight, Mike Clancy and I are going to the station to take the night train out of here. The moment we're gone, I know you'll have a visit from those two men. And here is the only thing to do.
quite a bit of pain, aren't you? No, don't try to talk, dear. That sleeping powder should be working any minute now, and you'll be dozing off. That's it. Just relax. Sleep. That's it. Sleep. One second, please.
It's you. You.
Hello, Godwin. Surprised to see us. We're coming inside.
Oh, no, you can't. My wife's sick. She just dozed off.
So bad.
Let's go downstairs to the lobby.
You have 10 witnesses around? No, we're coming inside.
Please, my wife has a bad heart.
You should have thought of that before. Before you gave us the double cross.
What do you want of me?
We want our dough back. The money we lost in the race you didn't throw.
You know I haven't got that kind of money.
We got a proposition. What did you tell your owners when you walked out on your last job?
That I had to take my wife to a rest home.
So you still stand all right with your old stable and all the big stables, huh?
Yes, I've had a couple of good offers lately.
That's what we're getting to. You're going to take one of those offers. You're going back to the big time to work for us.
For you?
When we want your horse to win, he wins. When we want him to lose, he loses. You work for us. And you keep on working for us till we get back our dough. And something more.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
Let's ask your wife what she thinks.
No, don't wait, because she had another heart attack today.
And she'll have a whole lot more if you don't get wise. Get her, wake her up.
Please, I beg you.
No! Wake up, Mrs. Godwin, wake up! Shake her, Skinner.
Okay, wake up, Mrs. Godwin.
Don't touch me. Hands up, both of you.
What?
What? Reach for the ceiling. I've got you covered.
Hey, it's that guy King.
Yes, my friends. I'm looking a little strange in this nightcap and nightgown. I didn't leave town after all. I hopped off the first car of the train just as soon as it cleared the station.
Well, I'll be...
Mrs. Godwin, fortunately, is in another room of the hotel with Tony, her dog, to take care of her. I decided to take her place here in bed, just long enough to listen and get the evidence that will send you both to prison for 10 years.
10 years?
Yes, for attempted extortion. All right, Mr. Godwin, phone the police. And then you can help me out of this nightgown.
Listen next week at the same time as Mr. Keene brings us The Case of the Little Black Book. The main job of a toothpaste is to help your brush clean your teeth. Isn't that correct? We honestly believe that Colonos toothpaste will help clean and polish teeth more effectively, safely, beautifully. And here's the reason. Colonos is a high-polishing toothpaste, especially designed to help clean and polish teeth with the greatest possible effectiveness, consistent with safety. That's why you can compare the action of Colonos to a jeweler's polish, removing tarnish from precious silver. Quickly, gently, it helps take away clouding surface film, leaves your teeth really clean, looking their best. Just run your tongue over your teeth and you'll feel the difference. Look in the mirror and you'll see the difference. So start each day the Colonos way, and let Colonos toothpaste help you keep smiling. That winning, successful smile that pays big dividends in business and social life. Ask your druggist for Colonos, a high-polishing toothpaste tonight. That's spelled K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Colonos toothpaste. You've been listening to Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, on the air every Thursday, 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime over this network. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Thursday night when the kindly old Tracer turns to The Case of the Little Black Book. This is Larry Elliott saying good night for the makers of Colonos toothpaste and inviting you to listen to Friday on Broadway at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime over this network tomorrow night. Aero-Wax gives you beautifully waxed, shining floors in 6 to 9 minutes flat and at the cost of only a few pennies per room. Think of it. It's quick, easy, economical. Just apply Aero-Wax. It dries to a marvelous luster, cuts out two-thirds of your scrubbing,
A full pint costs only 25 cents. Get AeroWax, AeroWax.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Did he say earwax? Ugh.
It happens. It happens. Earwax happens. But you know what also happens, Dale? Something that we can usually learn from a story with something like this.
Oh, good heavens. It's almost like I wasn't prepared. Stupid mouse isn't prepared. Here he is. Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story. Damn it, anyway.
It's apologies to Gar. Be careful when you're trying to scare an old woman, because she just might be a cross-dressing old detective with a gun.
There you go.
Yeah, I slipped up that one. I did. Hey, you know what? I meant to mention, you know, after that first song of the Fred Waring, not the where did the little dog go, but the song they used to introduce it when they were talking about the dog day, that's the same song that I used for my very first Weirdness TV sketch for the Weirdness Lucky Phone Calls.
Oh, so, wow.
I brought that to mind. I said, wow, wait, that was my very first sketch for the TV show.
So, a little trip down memory lane there.
Yep.
That's a while ago now, too.
That's a while ago. Yeah, it's probably about 12 years ago that particular sketch happened. So, wow. Well, you know, you can't have a Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, without having Bob and Ray followed up, can you, Dale?
No, these are funny. This is Mr. Trace, keener than most persons. All right, and this episode is called Case of the Hiccuping Cast.
Time now for Mr. Trace, keener than most persons, as he takes from his files another case. The case of the hiccuping tragedian. Early afternoon in the office of the surly old investigator as he and his assistant Spike Delancey sit looking out the window.
Oh, saints preservers. Mr. Trace, this is as keen a day as I've seen in a long time.
Well, you're the person to pick it out keenly.
Well, Spike. I'll tell you this, Mr. Person. I can keen a trace five times as many times as you could.
Well, I'm
put
certain...
that in your trace and keep it.
Well, I'll be pursed if I know the... Oh, the telephone, Spike.
Oh. Hello. Yes, this is the office of Mr. Parsons.
What is it, a new case, Spike?
He's not too keen on it, no. Yes. All right, well, I'll see if he'll talk to you.
Hello.
Mr. Mosley.
Oh, just a minute.
You want to talk to him? He's a producer, sir.
Yes, all right. Give me the phone receiver, Spike. Hello.
Hello.
This is Mr. Trace, keener than most persons.
Are you the famous tracker down of lost people and nuts and things?
Mostly, yes.
Good. You see, I'm a famous producer who's putting on a Shakespeare play.
Yes, I read about it.
It's called Julius Caesar.
Yes.
And for some mysterious reason, at each performance, my cast gets hiccoughs and I suspect sabotage.
Strange indeed. Smells like dirty work to me.
I wonder if we could have your services, sir.
Yes, of course. My assistant, Spike Delancey, and I will be right over to the theater.
Fine. We're at the Martin Gable Theater.
Don't do anything until I get there.
Say it's bizarre.
Quiet, Spike. We've got to be on our way. Well, here we are, Spike.
Say it's bizarre. Look at all them curtains and all them heavy weights.
It's a theater, Spike.
Oh, look at them actors out on the stage.
Don't anyone leave the... Oh, they can't leave. They're in the middle of the production. ...way when he doth run his course.
Antonius.
Saints,
Caesar, Caesar, my lord.
Forget not in your speed, Antonius, to touch Calpurnia.
A very good
our
production, it looks like,
the
Spike.
The baron touched in this holy chase. Shake off their sterile curse.
I don't understand.
I'll remember. Oh. When Caesar says do this, it is performed.
Set on and leave no ceremony out.
It loses some of its flavor with all of that hiccuping, doesn't it?
Caesar! I don't understand the words they say in any way.
Caesar!
Beat every noise! Be still! Peace yet again!
Spike.
In the press that calls
Mr. Tracely,
yes.
Lean back. The weight has fallen down. It'll hit you right on the mouth.
What do you mean, Spike?
Stand back, sir.
I'll be present if there's any... Those were shots, Spike. Look, someone's been shot in the balcony.
For that, I have the hiccups myself.
Yes, I'm suffering from the same problem myself.
Let me see his face.
And so Mr. Trent goes about his mostly gassed with the case of the hiccuping cast. Be sure and join us next time when we'll hear Spike DeLancey say...
Oh, saints preserve us, sir. I feel like a nut.
In the next episode of Mr. Trace, Keener Than Most Persons.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
David's
that's
just
fun.
Firing over the great dog... Great dog stuff here. We have more dog tunes for you a little later on, but
we do.
We should probably get started with our next feature, Suspense in the Barking Deaf.
Yeah, and it has a special guest on this particular suspense, Mr. William Powell. We featured him a bit back. We're going to be featuring him again on his birthday coming up soon. So here he is in a whole different type of thing, a suspense episode.
Yep, time's a-wasting. Let's go with part one from...
Oh,
way
that's
my
cue.
Way back on...
let's see. Wake up. March 1st, 1954.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. William Powell in tonight's presentation of...
Suspense. Tonight, a story based on fact. The true report of a chase through a city in an effort to find a killer. It's called The Barking Deaf. Our star, Mr. William Powell.
This is Harlow Wilcox. Say, could your church use as much as $50,000? Well, you can help your church, hospital, school, or any other recognized local or national charity share in a total of $100,000 by registering now in the Autolite Family Charity Drawing. A total of $100,000 in cash awards to the recognized charities selected by the 25 persons named in this drawing. Now, it is our privilege to have you hear what the head of one of America's finest organizations says about this great event. Here is Mr. William Ziegler, president of the American Foundation for the Blind.
This unique and generous Autolite offer deserves your attention. And when it comes to picking your favorite charitable group, remember that the American Foundation for the Blind needs your help to help our sightless people of all ages.
To enter the Autolite Family Charity Drawing, print your name and address on a registration form at any of these Autolite Family car showrooms. DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler. There's no obligation.
And now, Autolite presents The Barking Deaf, starring Mr. William Powell, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
It's over now, and the town has settled down. Most of what happened I know because I was a part of it. The rest I must imagine for you. Our town is not very large. 25,000 people, last census. Good town, proud of its police and fire protection, proud of its city administration and its health center. Then a thing happened to it. Terrifying thing. And this is the way it began.
Right in here, Doctor. Massive bite. Here. Cheek.
Mm. How long ago?
10 days ago. Medicated it himself. A few hours ago, his wife called me.
She wouldn't speak to me when I came in, Doctor. Upset.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Garrison here has been a patient of mine for a long time. Whole family. Well, she called me and said her husband was complaining of headaches. Then had a spasm when he tried to drink a glass of water. And a certain excitability. I didn't know about the dog bite until I came over. What do you think?
Where's the dog?
That one you hear out in the backyard. He's on a leash attached to a clothesline.
Yeah, I'll get him down to the lab and run a saliva test. Observe him.
What about Garrison here? Passed your treatment?
You need me to say it for you, Doctor? If this man's got rabies, it's too late for anything at all. The dog was a mongrel, mostly beagle, spotted black and white, both ears and its muzzle white. A man from the Animal Society was called in, and he took the dog to the health center. It was shortly after midnight. Mr. Garrison was kept under sedation, his symptoms being very painful. I got to the center about 8:30 the next morning and went immediately to the laboratory where the dog had been quartered.
Yeah, I got the list right here, Lieutenant. 3 microscopes. That's right, Lieutenant. 3 microscopes, binocular. Dissecting instruments, so must have taken a couple of fistfuls of them. I don't know exactly what. Scalpels, probes. I guess that's about all.
Hey, what's the matter?
Oh, hi, Paul. Hold it a minute, Lieutenant. Dr. Miller just came in. Robbery here last night, Paul. Got 3 microscopes.
Yes, I heard you.
Must have picked the lock. I found a piece of tin on the sidewalk when I came in.
Well, you finish up with the police, then you can tell me about it.
Hello, Lieutenant. Yeah, you got that? Well, the way I figure, it couldn't have been just one man. Those microscopes are pretty heavy, so there must have been a couple of them. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll leave everything alone.
Joe?
Hold a minute, Lieutenant. Yeah, what, Paul?
The dog.
Huh?
In that cage. The lock's been sprung in that cage. Did you...
Why, I don't know anything about it.
Now give me that phone. Hello?
Yes?
This is Dr. Miller.
Yes, sir?
Something's important. Something...
Dr. Kramer's just gave me a list of things that were stolen.
Listen, there was a dog here, a rabid dog, and he's gone.
What?
A dog, a black and white spotted mongrel. And chances are 1,000 to 1 he had rabies. And whoever stole those microscopes stole that dog. If that dog bites, well, rabies is 100% fatal.
I guess you'd better let me have that description, Doc.
Black and white spots. Mostly beagle, I think.
Where'd you get them crazy black and white spots, doggy? Doggy. Doggy, Pooch, get some more hamburger, doggy. Look at him, Harry.
Cliff.
Nice, doggy.
What'd you take the dog for, Cliff?
Pretty doggy.
Merchandise ain't enough for you, Cliff. Microscopes, all that junk. You got to take that to
I Harry. Like Pooches, Harry. Now leave me alone. I like Pooches.
That dog's got to go.
Oh.
Got to go.
Now listen.
Out with that dog, Cliff. I ain't going to live in the same room with no animal.
Now wait a minute, Harry.
So you like the dog. Well, both of you, good day.
Cliff's
you
got
and the Pooch.
Doggy, you're not liked. Gotta lose you, doggy.
Now.
Poochie, little Poochie, we gotta go for a little walk, Poochie.
And a petty thief took a walk with a dog, holding him in his arms against the chill autumn air. Took a walk while the town alerted itself, made aware of a danger. That leaders and interested people came together and were briefed. Now, everyone, find a chair and sit down, please.
Dr. Miller.
Yes?
My name is
Mrs. Stone, there'll be ample opportunity
to... I've written down a question. A question here, and I'd like to ask you. Is it the habit of this foundation to house a mad dog? The second part of my question is, who is responsible for the laxity in letting this dog escape so that he is a menace to the community and its people? That's my question, Dr. Miller. And as a housewife and a woman who... Well, I would like to hear what you have to say.
Mrs. Stone, this meeting was called for the press and any interested parties just to answer that kind of question. The dog was under observation to make certain he was rabid.
But the fact remains...
What fact remains?
Somebody was incompetent. That's all I have to say.
Dr. Miller?
Mr. Collins?
My paper is questioning your methods.
What about?
All this publicity.
A newspaper man and you...
The duty to the community. What about panic?
What about it?
Well, scaring people about an animal on the loose, an animal that might kill you. People from the health department ringing doorbells, police, people up in the hills with guns hunting for a dog, a spotted black and white dog. Little ridiculous, huh?
Is it?
That's the question I asked you, Doctor.
Yes, you did. Dr. Kramaz.
Yes, Doctor?
Are you ready with the film?
All ready.
Will one of you people switch off that light, please? Now, in this projector is just a few feet of film of a child suffering from rabies. I think all of you should see it. Okay, Doctor. All right. Now, will someone turn on the lights again, please? Well, I see Mrs. Stone walked out. Well, I didn't show that film to scare anyone. Just so we can get into a frame of mind. Just so we can be deadly serious. Somewhere in our town is an animal which has a deadly disease. And whoever he bites, if that person does not receive immediate treatment, that person will surely die.
You mean anybody who gets rabies?
Will surely die. Without treatment, it's 100% fatal. Now, Dr. Kramaz, can I have that chart?
Of course, Doctor.
Drawing of human nervous system. To make a simple point, the virus of rabies attacks the nerves, travels them till it reaches the brain. The closer to the brain the bite is, the less time it takes for the awful symptoms you just saw to appear. Then, death. And I repeat it. Once the virus reaches here, it is 100% fatal.
Want a doggy, sonny?
Huh?
Pretty little doggy. You can have him.
Honest?
Just you be nice to him, that's all.
My mother wouldn't let me have him.
Oh, pretty little pooch. Feed him. Feed him right back here between his floppy little ears.
Couldn't keep him in the garage, though. And not kill Mom.
Now, just so you be good to him.
Now, that's my house right over there. Right in back's a garage, and nobody hardly goes in there. We use it for storage mostly, and Mommy wouldn't know I had him.
Now, he likes meat and bones.
I know about doggies.
He needs something warm. Put a cushion down.
Yes, sir.
Well, handle him nice.
What's his name?
Pooch.
Aw, what kind of...
Look, you want him or don't you want him?
Come here, doggy. Come here, pretty doggy.
The boy, whose name was Peter Barrett, took the dog in his arms and walked away with it. And a half mile away, a Jeep, outfitted as a sound truck, blared a warning. Three men's clubs of the town held an emergency meeting together. Searching parties were organized. The civil defense system was alerted. And a man, a health officer, directed all of it. A man who became tired.
Paul?
Yeah?
Some coffee.
Oh, thanks.
I've got it black.
Yeah. Put it down.
Now who should take it easy?
What do you want, Joe?
Just take it easy.
16 hours.
Probably. Oh, I'll get it. Dr. Miller's office. This is Dr. Kremer speaking. Oh, yes. Oh. Oh, that's too bad. Yes, of course, I'll tell him.
Well? Tell me what?
Mr. Garrison died, rabies. They'll send some samples over to pathology for negri bodies, but there's no question about it.
Now we're sure of it. Rabies.
Yeah, now we're sure of it.
And the dog hasn't been found. And somebody's going to irritate that dog, and he'll bite. And the rabid dog is very easy to irritate.
Hi, doggy. Hi, sweet doggy. Brought you a bone, doggy, and some milk. You look funny, Pootsie. What's the matter? Oh, come here and snuggle up. Is that better?
Autolite is bringing you Mr. William Powell in The Barking Death, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. This is Harlow Wilcox. Tonight we are privileged to salute the Studebaker Corporation as a distinguished member of our Autolite family. So, I've got a date at my Studebaker dealer's, and here I am.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi. Say, what's this model? A car of the future?
Well, it's a car of the future, all right, but you can buy one today. It's the new Studebaker for 54. You know, Mr. Wilcox, while other makers are talking about their dream cars, Studebaker is building and selling. But, of course, the pace-setting Studebaker styling means more than just beauty. It eliminates needless dead weight and excess bulk. Now, that means terrific gas mileage and superb handling ease.
Well, can you get power steering on the new Studebaker?
You sure can, and overdrive, too, if you wish. And, of course, our new Studebakers use many Autolite products, too.
Well, thanks, Mr. Dealer. Autolite is proud of its long association with Studebaker and you Studebaker dealers everywhere.
Yes, because we know the parts won't be around in the 70s.
And neither will the cars.
Neither will the cars. So if you got one, you're stuck. Sorry, kids. Welcoming someone here to the studio at Erie House Radio. Is it who I thinks it is?
Woof!
Hello, CW. Welcome to Erie House.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Are you able to hear me here?
Oh, yeah.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Good to be here on the dog days of summer, or starting anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like it some days. Yeah, that's for sure. But, we got a poor doggy with a probable case of rabies.
Aww,
in this particular episode
thing.
Here. Poor thing.
Yeah, it must have been bitten by a politician. Ouch!
Oh, yes.
And he didn't have his distemper shot. The politician,
Any of them. Take your pick.
Yep.
That's what I'm thinking. But dogs are good, except when they're rabid, not so much good to be around.
Indeed. That poor housewife. Just when she was getting ready to tell off Mr. Powell, and all of a sudden she couldn't take it and went home to bake cookies.
Is that what they did? Whenever they got mad, they went home and baked cookies? In the 50s?
Yes, the cookies had everything you needed for a balanced meal. Tons of butter, trans fat, refined sugar.
Well, that's cool. Good old Bob has a restored Studebaker dealership showroom down in Mena, Arizona. That's cool.
during cool. these. Let's see if we can squeeze in the last part of Suspense, the Barking Death, and possibly some more dog tunes. So hold on as we wrap it up, and we'll be back hopefully with CW, who joins us here on Erie House Radio.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. William Powell in Elliot Lewis's production of The Barking Death, a story based on fact and well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Child of the town, nuzzling his cheek against death. Something he was hiding away. Child's secret. As every child has and is entitled to a secret. And in another place of the town, the place of test tubes and experiment and statistics, the town's health center and my office.
Hello.
Yes?
Dr. Miller?
Yes, what can I do for you?
I'm Mrs. Roki.
Will you sit down?
All those advertisements about a dog.
Yes?
On the radio and the newspaper.
Yes? You know where...
Oh, yes.
You know where it is? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, but first you must understand something, Dr. Miller.
What?
That I alone am responsible for catching the animal.
You caught him?
I certainly knew the risk I was taking.
Where is he, Mrs. Roki?
Now, after all, if that animal's as dangerous as you say he is, I did a pretty brave thing.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Roki. Come on, let's leave Dr. Miller alone.
Oh, you think you're smart.
What's all this?
She came up the back way.
Just take your hand away.
Come on.
So what is all this, Joe?
Mrs. Roki got past the police, she got past the information desk, and she got to me, and she told me she caught a black and white spotted dog. She's got one, all right.
I have.
Yes, you have, Mrs. Roki.
In my car.
Yes, you have, Mrs. Roki.
Then you go right down there and destroy him.
We don't destroy animals, Mrs. Roki. Never.
Dr. Miller.
Yes?
Now, you listen here. I caught a mad dog, and
she's got a little chihuahua down there, not the dog we're looking for. Mrs. Roki wants her picture in the paper, don't you, Mrs. Roki? You don't really know what's going on right now, do you? Now, come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, all that bother about a dog. Oh, probably no such thing as rabies anyhow.
Come on.
Now, Mrs. Roki. Mrs. Roki, pray that that animal doesn't bite anyone.
Why did you bite my arm for, Fuji? Mama! Mama! Mama? Mama? Mama!
Which happened in a white clobbered house, 1647 Whittier Avenue, garage detached, near the railroad yards. And down Main Street, close to its east end, where there's more grass, the group of municipal buildings. The office of the lieutenant of police.
From my point of view, Dr. Miller, police point of view.
Now, which is that?
What we seem to have forgotten. Two microscopes were stolen and various instruments, the disposal of same. That's my point of view, Doctor. Procedure.
You care to tell me about it?
Yeah, we're looking for the wrong thing.
What do you mean?
It's easier to find microscopes than a dog. Anyhow, I told you, procedure, routine. We've questioned men with known records, alerted... excuse me. Lieutenant Stevens speaking. Oh, where? Well, good. Bring him down here. I said routine, Doctor, and you didn't seem impressed.
Suitably so, Lieutenant. Listen, there's only one thing that could make me jump up on this desk and shout array and go through all the antics you...
Oh, no, just take it easy.
It's not a time to get cryptic, that's all.
Oh, thanks, Sergeant. That'll be all. Sit down. What's your name?
Wood. Harry Wood.
Vagrancy.
Started out like that, sir.
Yeah, that's what the sergeant told me over the phone. He said you yelled you weren't a vagrant, and they took you home to find out. And they found a microscope.
Then he's...
I said routine, Doctor, and you didn't seem impressed. Spotting a vagrant is routine.
Is it all right if I...
Sure, go ahead.
You stole the microscope from the health center, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Three microscopes and instruments and the dog.
Yes, sir.
Where's the dog?
I don't know.
Now, listen, you. What did you do with that dog?
I said I didn't know. Cliff took the dog.
What's he talking about, Lieutenant? Cliff, the other man. There was more than one, remember? And he took the dog.
And I made him get rid of it.
How?
I didn't ask him how he got rid of it. He got rid of it.
Well, where is he? Where is this Cliff? Lieutenant, ask him where... Now, look, the sergeant said he went back to this man's room. No one was there, or the two other microscopes, or the instruments.
I don't know where he went.
I'm going to say it to you again, Doctor. Routine. Mostly that pays off more than anything else. Now it's a matter of finding a man named Cliff.
And 12 blocks away, across Main Street and down 2 blocks, there was a store. There was a man in the store he had owned for the last 20 years. Smallish man, nothing extraordinary. Citizen of the town. About to become a hero.
Yes, sir? Hornet. Listen to microscopes.
Yes. Yes, I see.
How much?
2 microscopes.
I'm throwing over my entire practice and getting rid of everything. And I'll tell you something.
Oh?
Give me a good price on these 2 and I got another one.
Doctor.
Huh?
I said, Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Mr. Harding, our instrument man, is in the back. He should see these. It, well, you understand.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. You're just the violin and suit man, and Mr. Harding's...
The instrument man.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Wait here. I'll be right back.
Well, you just tell Mr. Harding the doc's in a big hurry.
Quickly, the police. Hello? This is Carl Roberts on 3rd Street, pawn shop. A man just came in, a little bit drunk, came in with 2 binocular microscopes, both of them Bosch and Rome. Says he has another one, claims he's a doctor, but... oh, yeah. Oh, just a second. Serial number. G1135...
Wait, no, Mr. Harding. Talk to the phone. Give me those.
Now, sir.
Get out of the way and give me those microscopes.
You're a dirty little thief. That's what you are, breaking into the health center and stealing. And that's where these microscopes come from.
Get out of
and
my
that
way.
That animal you stole, that dog, the whole town is looking for.
I said get out of my way.
Oh, no, you don't.
Okay, you ask for it.
Well,
stop him! Stop that man! Stop him!
The man who owned the pawn shop had been in business for the last 20 years. A smallish man, nothing extraordinary, citizen of the town, who became a hero. Who caught a thief named Cliff Loomis. And Loomis confessed to his thefts. And a little later, I had a chance to speak with Loomis. About a dog.
Look, I've been on it too.
A dog with black and white spots and white muzzle.
What do you want from me? You got your junk back? What's so important about a lousy dog?
Look, the police have been to your room and he's not there.
I asked you a question. What's so important about a lousy...
Did he bite you?
You're crazy.
Did he?
Bones he bit. Me, he wagged his tail for. A very nice dog.
I want to show you something.
Huh?
Here, look at them. Go on, take them, Cliff.
Pictures?
Go on.
Go on. Doc.
Yes?
You must be crazy carrying around pictures like these.
Pictures of people dying, Cliff.
That's what I mean, pictures like these.
People bitten by a rabid animal.
What does that mean?
Like that dog you stole.
What?
It had rabies.
Bit somebody, they'd...
Unless they were treated in time.
Nurse.
Yep.
I gave the dog to a little boy.
Where? Where, Cliff?
Doc.
Where?
I don't know.
Listen, Cliff.
No, I'm not kidding, Doc. I don't know. I told you I've been looped.
This is the jolt that makes me all of a sudden not looped, and I'm telling you, too, I don't know where the kid is.
Yeah?
Doc, it was somewhere near where our room was. I remember Harry said, get rid of the poot, so I went downstairs, and the first kid I met, it's hazy, Doc.
Listen, we'll take a ride, Cliff.
Police, too?
Afraid so. We're going to take a ride, and we're going to try to find that boy. Ring a lot of doorbells and ask a lot of questions. And find him, right?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Tinker Doll. I didn't see you. I didn't mean to kick you. Now, don't you cry. My mom isn't home, and I won't know what to do if you cry. I know. I'll play a tune. Better? I got hurt, too. It doesn't hurt so much anymore. Poochie didn't mean to bite me. Should we play records, Tinker Doll? All right.
Diddle, diddle, dumpling, my son Tom went to bed with his stockings on. One shoe off and one shoe on. Diddle, diddle, dumpling, my son Tom.
Hello?
Hello.
My mother isn't home, mister.
Why are you holding your arm like that?
It hurts a little.
Why?
Poochie bit me.
Then he told me where the dog was. The dog with the black and white spots. The deadly animal who had bitten no one else. We had gotten there in time. The boy was treated and got better in a town that slept well that night.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. William Powell. This is Harlow Wilcox again. Have you signed up in the $100,000 Autolite Family Charity Drawing? Well, if you're 18 or over, visit one of the following car dealers: DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler. Just print your name and address on a registration form and have the dealer sign it. You don't have to own one of these cars. You don't have to solve or buy or write anything. So help your local church, hospital, the American Foundation for the Blind, or any other local or national recognized charity share in this huge sum. Remember, if you are one of the top 25 names in this drawing, the recognized charity of your choice can receive a big part of $100,000. So visit any of these Autolite Family car showrooms: DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler. Make sure to sign up tomorrow.
Next week, the story of a man who wanted to apologize for threatening a stranger. And when he got there, the stranger was dead and the police were waiting. It's called Circumstantial Terror. Our star, Mr. Ronald Reagan. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morrowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Barking Death was written for Suspense by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Featured in the cast were Junius Matthews, Dick Beals, Ted Bliss, Joseph Kearns, Jack Crucian, Gene Wood, Paula Winslow, and Hi Everback.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
I thought there might be more. A little dead air there. All right. Suspense with the barking dog. The town slept peacefully,
yes. Yes.
But it wasn't such a good night for Sparky, was it? Or Fluffy or whatever.
Poochie. Poochie.
Poochie. Poochie, that's it.
Poochie
had a rough night.
But Poochie didn't have rabies after all. You know, so the guy must have got the rabies from a skunk or something, you know.
Or a politician.
there you are. All right. Well done. Yes, I often wondered if a person did have rabies and bit another person, did that person have rabies?
I think so.
I do believe so, yeah.
No.
I don't imagine that happens a lot, but I would think that the person would get it. It seems like they would. I mean, it would be passed through spittle and blood or whatever, I would think.
Right. That's how it's passed through, is through the spittle and blood. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and from what I understand, the cure is a very painful cure because you have to get so many shots
in your abdomen or something like that.
Abdomen, yeah. It's not.
If you look that up, they have augmented that where having an injection is no treat, no matter how it's done. But I don't believe it's that old-fashioned torture chamber of a variety of inoculation.
Well, that would be very good. And can they catch it a little later? Because before, you're right, if they didn't start treatment right away, you were pretty much
you were
gone.
You were done, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I've heard that people who do animal rehab and whatnot, there is a pre-vax that you can get that can forestall that. Don't quote me on that. You'd have to look it up, but if I'm not mistaken, looking up on YouTube of people who do animal rehab, and they mentioned that there is a variety of vaccine that can somewhat forestall that.
So is it like for animal addicts, this animal rehab, or?
Like the 14-step program that you need to go through.
You know what I'm thinking.
Hello, I am CW, and I am a cataholic.
Nothing wrong with that. I fully support cat alcoholism or whatever.
It's true.
Catalepsy?
Catalepsy? Catnipitis?
Yep.
I don't know, that catnip drives me crazy. I got to be careful. I just start running around real fast when I get that catnip, you know.
Dave, the catnip is for the cat.
What?
Yeah.
The cat's already got a bunch of toys. What does it need catnip for?
I don't know. The same thing we needed the 70s for, I guess. I can't really say.
I understand. Hey, what we have happening here next week, Dale, on Erie House Radio?
Nothing much.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's Mad Scientist Weekend. We've got Inner Sanctum, favorite story, 2000+. Quiet, please. Garshin like that. And Black Castle. And they're all going to be about mad scientists.
Yep. It's easier to find a mad scientist than the glad one.
Yes. A glad scientist would be boring. These are mad scientists.
Yes, it would be.
And that's next weekend, starting Friday, 8:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. So good luck in prison. I'm stalling to see if this timer is good tonight. Good night. Bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Extra songs in the after party. Listen in the archives.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Bye-bye.
There we go. The timer is always off, CW, our little countdown. It's
I
weird.
Noticed
it's,
that.
It streams at a different speed than the audio does, I guess.
I think it plays with catnip.
Yes. I never gave my cats catnip. Never did.
Some cats don't care. Some cats just turn their noses up and walk away. Other cats will just go berserk.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cats get a little high with it.
I would imagine. Although we had the Beep, my wife's cat, the Beep, who's now deceased, but she used to like celery would act like kitty litter. Like one day we left some celery with the leaves yet on it on the counter, and Beep was up there rolling on it. And the next thing you know, she's like all stoned. It's hilarious. She got high on celery. I don't know.
It might be, or I don't know, maybe some catnip was growing near your celery plants or something.
I don't grow celery. Although, I had a bumper crop this year of snow peas, and I made a wonderful stir fry today.
Well done.
Yes.
Hey, you know, Dale, there's something I didn't quite get to go to during the podcast. You know how they always have this day in history? Well, 85 years ago, this month in history, a bumbling American archaeologist accidentally led the Third Reich to a fabled Ark of the Covenant, nearly dooming all humanity in the process. Fortunately, an even more inept French archaeologist neglected to do a thorough reading of the instructions manual and watching the unboxing video and killing all but two witnesses who actually didn't see anything. That was happened this month, 85 years ago.
Yes.
Wow. History. They never teach you that in history class.
They
no.
That's why we have Erie House Radio. They teach you these things.
It's out of the old text. I think they started, the story first came out in what, right? Around 1981.
Yeah.
Because before that, they didn't talk about it much, and it was a buried piece of history, but it came out in about 81.
Yeah.
They should make a movie about it. That would be cool.
They should. You know, and I hear they're going to make a movie next year with the same character. It's going to be Indiana Jones in the Temple of Spoons, and it takes place in a buffet.
Yes. At the Golden Corral. Indiana Jones about 80 at the Golden Corral.
And it's between 3:45 and 5:45 where you get the senior discount.
Yes.
Hey, you weren't meaning that for anyone like Dale and I, were you? Just because we qualify doesn't mean that you should say it.
I hate admitting I have a Buckeye card.
I have one too. Doesn't really do anything for us, but we have one.
No, yeah, but we have one. Makes us feel.
I have no idea what those are. It must be from your part of the galaxy.
Ohio State Buckeyes. The Buckeye is in Ohio. It's the official state nut, which is actually a useless nut. You can't really eat it or anything. But Jim Rhodes was our governor many moons ago. For many moons, he's actually governor who sent in the National Guard to Kent State University. Anyway, he devised this golden Buckeye card for seniors, and they could get all kinds of different discounts and things like that because they were seniors.
Yeah.
And Dale and I unfortunately haven't signed up for my ARP card yet, but I can.
Now Buckeye trees are beautiful; they flower very nicely. But those damn phony nuts are hell on a lawnmower. I would never grow a tree like that. Never.
So the nuts have no use whatsoever in any edible or medicinal. They're just
No. I'm sure the tree's life, it's important somewhere, but not to us as humans.
There's nothing edible about it at all, It's a useless nut.
Well, I've heard of the Buckeyes because that's the name of a ball team, isn't it?
Yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes,
That's a football team, yep.
Actually, the first time I ever heard of a Buckeye, it's a peanut butter and chocolate dessert.
Oh my goodness, those are wonderful. They taste very much like a Reese's, naturally. They try to make them shaped a little bit like the Buckeye. They're dark on the outside, and they stuff it with like this peanut butter filling. I'm having a seizure right now, let me tell you. Thinking about it. Oh. It's like food porn.
And now the Buckeye. First, we have the chocolate.
Have you ever had a Buckeye, CW?
When you were talking about pie, I'm talking about, is there some sort of pastry shop these guys are talking about? And then I remembered, they're team members. But the Buckeye I first ever heard of was the chocolate dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Hen make them. There was a shop, I don't know if it's still around since COVID, but there was a shop where they would hand make them. They would temper on a marble slab the chocolate, and then they'd have the piping bag. They would do it, put that peanut butter, the homemade peanut butter right in there, and then they let them sit and whatnot, and they'd sell them.
Oh, my goodness.
Believe me, candy shops survived the pandemic. Yeah. And we all have the weight to prove it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many people that make them and so many different places that make them, and there's very little variation on them. I mean, everybody pretty much makes them similarly. There's a little variation on taste and whatever, but Buckeyes are good. You can't screw them up.
Not really. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolate I've seen them made with.
Oh, I haven't seen them with the white chocolate. That would be interesting to try.
Yeah, as I said, it used to be at this place, but I haven't been anywhere near there since COVID-19 hit, so I don't even know if they're in business. If they are, I'll take an image of it. So you can. I don't know if you need to see that, though. You probably don't need to see that.
Well, I think an image of that could send Dale into a diabetic shock.
Mm.
Oh, dear. Yes.
But what a way to go.
Well, remember, chocolate is also not good for the puppy. Dogs love chocolate. They adore chocolate. But garlic are two huge no-nos for a dog.
We know that. No, nothing. And there are other little things you got to watch with collies, too. You can't let them get crazy right after eating.
Hey, speaking of dogs, we promised in the afterbirth here another dog song.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead.
I think you'll like this, CW.
More
a little more Fred Waring.
Well, every child who has ever heard a dog will enjoy Harry Simmons' musical settings for three of the best-known nursery rhymes in the book. Remember, Hark, Hark, the Dogs Do Bark? Turn the page to Old Mother Hubbard.
Mother Hubbard, when to the cover,
turn the page again, for I had a little dog, and his name was Buff.
What do you say, Fred? Would you like to be one?
Well, sometimes, Bill, I wish I were a dog. Their lives must be easy as falling off a log. They don't have to wait for streetcars and buses and never get into arguments or fusses. They don't need new shoes, or they don't have to buy the news to find out what happened to Tracy. And dogs don't have to buy lacy clothes, powder their nose, or pay the mortgage on the first, or have a little speech carefully rehearsed in case they get home late at night. In fact, it's perfectly all right if they never get home at all. Dogs don't have to call the theater to find out what time the price has changed so they can save a dime. They don't have to play bridge or poker or worry about who has the joker and the four aces. They don't have to go places where they don't have fun just because it's being done, and you never, ever see them in the museum. Dogs don't fret over what to have for dinner or about which horse was the winner. They don't have to laugh when things aren't funny. They don't have to make money or break their backs figuring income tax. And they don't start a war that they don't quite know what for. Dogs get to drink out of saucers instead of cups, and when they have pups, they don't have to think up names or wonder if the children look like their Uncle James or pay a big fee to an obstetrician. Well, so long as I'm wishing, I might as well be more specific. I don't want to be one of those terrific dogs with a mile-long pedigree that society goes to the shows to see. I'd rather be just a little cur with fuzzy fur so I could go only where I wanted to go. Oh, I'd take brandy to folks lost in the snow. I'd be kind to children, chase an occasional cat, find me a big bone to bury, and that's that. Most of us humans are lost in a fog, and I think it would be better to be a dog. My mind's made up, and you can't move it. I know I'm right, and I can prove it. Well, you just look and look, and if you can, find me a dog who'd rather be a man.
Pretty good stuff, Dave.
That was great.
Yep.
What was it? The dog doesn't have to worry about if the children look like Uncle. What's their name?
Wow. That's
that
a little.
Awesome.
That was a cute little poem there. Yep, absolutely.
Yep, dogs is good people. They are. They're better than people. They're not as judgmental.
No. They could definitely could tell when somebody's trying to do something they're not supposed to do.
Yep. I had a dog that would, like, if when we would play wrestle, he would get very, very upset, and it didn't matter whoever it was. He always went after the aggressor, or who he perceived
whoever
to be the aggressor.
Top. Yeah, whoever was on top is the one that he would get. Yeah.
Yeah.
He or she.
Yep.
Oh, yes, and a quick moment of silence for the first dog, Champ. He passed away. The Biden's German Shepherd.
Oh, I didn't know that he passed away. I had not heard that.
Yeah, he was 13. They still have the other one, Major, who is, Major's probably about 13 weeks old or something to that effect.
Major is now in the process of being very well trained, since Major has bitten two people on the White House lawn.
They probably deserved it. That's all I got to say. Like I said, dogs know these things. Speaking of
they
things
do.
You know,
dogs are good judges of character.
They are. And speaking of things you should know, remember? Remember when you were little and you could just rip off all your clothes and run around naked and everybody thought it was cute? Anyway, I need bail money.
David! David! Shame on you, shame.
Oh, the
bad pub we're going to get now.
Oh, my.
Or they'll go great comic skits. One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just actually thinking how you can work that into a skit, and I pretty much got it, yeah.
I don't know. Big Chuck found a way when they did the streak.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah. OSCW, such a great thing. One of our longtime movie hosts here. I was going to say horror host, but really they did other movies too. Big Chuck and Houlihan, and then later Little John. They were on for 40 years. Anyway, they did a skit of Dave, fill me in on this.
Ray Stevens, yeah. The Streak.
And yeah,
I'm afraid of running
one of their regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the regulars, Lafredo, was the streaker from who, because they often, you know, would lip sync popular crazy songs, and Art Lafredo ran in these skin colored shorts. It was hilarious because as kids we were like, "Did I just see what I thought I saw? Oh my gosh!" You know, that was funny.
Yep.
Wow, but so that skit with rolling around without your clothes on a la a dog, yeah, that'll take a little bit of imagination, but yeah, I can see that being done.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my.
Well, I just have to have use of a jail cell for a few minutes to do that skit, that's all.
Hey, that's all you need.
I'm sure you wouldn't have any issue getting that done at all.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing I haven't been able to get, a jail cell.
For a skit?
For a skit, yeah. Actually,
oh, okay.
I
thought maybe for fun. I don't know.
Well, no, I always already got the handcuffs.
Exactly. Wow. I'm learning things about you. I had no idea. I had no idea. No idea.
Well,
they're getting rusty, too.
As that European listener made mention, this is a very educational show.
Sorry.
Have I disrupted the show again? Shame on me. Somebody hit me with a newspaper.
Yes.
Somebody hit me with a newspaper. Yes.
I couldn't be more pleased.
Bad Dave. Naughty. I'm going to get the water bottle.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. Good. I won't have to take a shower this month then.
Oh! Wow. Month.
Sprinkle a day keeps the odor away.
Good heavens. It's been ages since I've heard that.
Have you had your sprinkles today? Yes.
Oh, they got sued, by the way.
Did they?
They did.
Yep.
For what reason?
Talcum powder.
Ah.
Oh.
Talcum
powder
is deadly.
Yeah, they found that talcum powder is only good for horses, you know?
Yippers.
Wow. Used it for years. Never had a problem.
Well, I used it for years, too, but I was sniffing it, so, you know.
Okay, that's better. I didn't know you were supposed to. I didn't know. No one told me. I'm always the last to know.
Oh, my.
It's so wonderful things are starting to opening up. I mean, all these businesses are turning their Wi-Fi back on with no password protection. It's all wide open all over the place.
Ah, yes.
You're all set, Dale.
There you go.
Oh, my. Yes, it is. It's nice to have things opening up again. So it's just.
Yes. I don't know if your area is, but it's pretty open here in Ohio.
They request that you've had your shots, but
yes, indeed. Now that masks are soon to be by the wayside, whatever will people argue about now? Oh yeah, the same old thing they always argued about. Everything else.
Yeah, everything else. Yeah.
Why am I laughing? It's not that funny.
No, it isn't. Sometimes the truth hoits.
Yeah.
It is. Well, I, for one, am keeping my mask. I haven't had an allergy attack all season, and quite frankly, I'm keeping it with me.
There you go.
Me too. I just keep it shut, stuffed in my pocket. But, you know, actually, I keep them in my car, and sometimes when there's a lot of people around, I'm not afraid to put it on.
It's true. It'll come in specially handy during the Christmas shopping season if you're in the wall-to-wall people. I mean.
Yeah, there were almost no colds and no flu this last season because everybody was wearing masks. Oh, that was an interesting byproduct of wearing a mask.
So, yep. Keep your mask, everybody. Don't toss it away. Keep it stashed someplace in a pocket, in a bag, in the glove compartment, under your hat.
Indeed. What was your favorite dog? First CW.
Oh, my favorite dog. I'm going to have to say, with all due respect to Lassie and Rin Tin Tin, it's Benji.
Oh, I hadn't thought about Benji in a long time. Yeah. He was a cute dog. That was a good
and
movie.
Another, yeah, but the dog I think that really was a steam sealer, this was in a movie with Richard Dreyfuss and Bette Miller, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. The dog's name was Matisse. You remember Matisse, that dog, the one with the blue eye and the brown eye?
Mm.
And they were so, the dog was diagnosed as being somewhat depressed, so they hired a dog psychiatrist because they were so freaking rich.
Yeah, and I do remember that.
Yeah, so anyway, Matisse, that is a dog. But now that you've got me started, the other dog in the movie, did anyone remember seeing As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson? That little dog, Verdell, that dog.
No, I don't know that I saw that all the way through.
I apologize. You only asked me one dog, so I'll say Benji, but I just had to mention those other two because they just stick out in my memory.
Did you have, like, a real-life dog that's a favorite dog that you remember?
Cat person.
You're a cat person?
Cat.
We will do
through and through.
Come back for cat show. We will have cat shows in the future.
Oh, yeah, it's already there. It's already there.
We have in the past. We will again. Oh, yes, we will.
Yep. Lots of cat shows. Lots of cat shows.
Yeah, I love kitty cats, too. Joey's still upset about the puppy. He's down here. He's like, dude, ever since my sister died, life was so good. And now why? Why? Why this? It was just getting good. Poor
yeah.
Joe.
I would say my favorite, I have two favorite dogs. My favorite cartoon dog is Underdog.
Oh.
And
and
my favorite TV dog would probably be on Married with Children. Because he was the smartest one in the whole family.
Oh, Buck
was
great.
The smartest one in the whole family. Yeah.
Buck was awesome.
So I think those are my two favorite dogs, both cartoon and real dogs. So.
I don't know. My favorite movie dog, there's so many. I really remember Lassie from TV more than the movies. I do have to see the original Lassie come home because, Elizabeth Taylor's in it. And, yeah, very young
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell. Oh, my God. My Lassie come home. Oh, God, that's a tearjerker. But not in a hurry to see, like, Old Yeller or anything like that. No thanks.
Yeah, that's a movie you watch once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That and Dracula's Dog.
Dracula's Dog? I think I missed that one.
I think I did, too.
I think that's in, I don't know, it might be in public domain. But, yeah, it's called Dracula's Dog.
Dracula's Dog.
That one bites.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I wasn't going to go there. I didn't have the courage.
That's because you're a much higher class person than we are. That's
oh, my God. By leaps and bounds. At least speaking for myself.
Thank you. Speaking of cartoon dogs, Courage the Cowardly Dog. Has anyone ever seen that tune, Courage the Cowardly Dog?
No. I have not. I know of it, but I haven't seen any of it.
You've got to catch a couple of episodes. I mean, it is hilarious. It's about this dog and this elderly couple, and this lady thinks Courage is just the greatest, and her curmudgeon of an idiot husband is always getting into bad things, and she is just so innocent. And Courage just has to save the day. He's a total coward, but he has to just go and save her. And he always looks forward to just curl up in her lap and just have a snooze. But it's the most hilarious thing. It's Courage the Cowardly Dog. You must catch an episode.
All right. I'll have
also
to check that out.
Ren and Stimpy were good cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly crazy cartoon.
And of course, you want to see Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's a classic dog. Absolutely.
I couldn't believe that when that came out, Scooby-Doo. I'm like, really? A monster chasing dogs? How cool is that?
A monster running away from dog. What are you talking about?
Yeah. True.
I do wish someone had thrown Scrappy-Doo to the monster.
Scrappy-Doo, I did not need that at all.
Well, didn't they make Scrappy like the villain in the movie or something?
He
in the live
been.
Action movie? I think they made Scrappy-Doo as a villain.
That would be good. I'll have to look that up, but that would be so nice if they did.
If not in the first one, there may have been a sequel movie. I don't know. But it's that one kid, he plays Shaggy pretty damn well, the young fella.
Matthew Lillard, I think.
Yes.
That is the actor, Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
He was perfect casting.
For Shaggy, absolutely.
Yes.
There's nobody else. Not being done. Ruh-roh.
That's true. That was Astro.
And then Scooby
Doo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, George.
Ruh-roh. And you've got Dino, which technically isn't really a dog, but yet he is.
Oh, yes, there's Dino. Hong Kong Phooey.
Oh,
Hong Kong Phooey, yes.
Hey, when you're voiced by
good.
Scatman Crothers, you're already in the running.
You are.
He was great. I didn't know much about him until I saw The Shining. And then I just, he's one of those people that has a voice that just captures you, you know, whether it's the inflection of the voice or the words that he's saying are more likely a combination of both. But I was so captured by his character that I'm like, this guy's good. You know, I got to know more about him.
Yeah, Hong Kong Phooey, and then my next big showing of him was on Chico and the Man. He was Louis the Garbage Man.
Oh, yeah.
Chico and the Man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movie, Silver Streak. He was on that.
Was he like a train porter or something?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Which didn't do his talent justice, but hey, he got money.
He was in Twilight Zone, the movie. He was in the remake of Kick the Can.
Oh, yeah. That was another very charming role for him.
Oh, Kick the Can!
Yeah. Doesn't that warm your heart just thinking about that one?
Yes.
It does. Very classic. Did anyone mention Superman's dog, Crypto?
No.
No.
You did just now.
I did just now. And, of course, Batman's dog, Ace.
I think I had forgotten that Batman had a dog.
Oh, yeah. Batman did have a dog. Of course, if Superman had to have a dog, Batman had to have a dog.
Gotcha.
And Batman... Yes, Batman's dog was Ace.
If Batman doesn't get what Superman gets, then there's contract negotiations and other problems.
Yeah, there is. You got to be kidding.
Yeah, Superman is allergic to kryptonite, but Batman has a kryptonite rock in his utility belt just to keep Superman.
Hey, there's a couple we forgot about. We forgot about Snoopy, a great cartoon dog.
Oh,
my gosh, yes.
And Goofy.
No, you know what Batman's superpower really is. You know what Batman's superpower really is. Come on. It's an endless freaking supply of cash.
Superpower. I'm rich.
Yes, I'm rich.
Game over. Goofy. Yeah. Is Goofy and Pluto are both dogs?
Yes. But Goofy has clothes and Pluto doesn't.
Yes. And Goofy talks and Pluto does not. That we know of.
No, I don't think he's ever said anything other than arf or wolf.
Yeah. Well, I have to perform some puppy relief. I believe Mrs. K is taking a beating up there.
All right. Well, in that case, we should have the one and only CW bring in the one and only you know who.
Without further ado, everyone, the one, the only, the schnozzle himself, Mr. Durante, would you be so kind?
It would be a pleasure.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Yay.
It's time to say good night.
Thanks for joining
but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Good night.